Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, December 26th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Maswingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kutakwashe Basikiti calls on the government to prioritize the rehabilitation and construction of roads in his province as the holiday death toll continues to rise in Maswingo.
It's unfortunate that coupled to the narrowness of the road and the high volumes of cars congestion which is currently obtaining, poor maintenance to the roads because they are potholes.
Youths from the Woshme Ngube MDC spread the Christmas cheer by donating goods to Intembeni Old People's Home in Bulawayo.
We know that those people, we have got no one that helps them. They rely on donations. And for us, living in a country like ours, whereby we've got an illegitimate government that is failing to do anything.
And Michael Cariati looks at why Boxing Day has lost its meaning in the sporting family.
The number of people dying on the roads in Maswingo this festive season continues to rise, raising concern about the state of the roads in the province. Provincial Affairs Minister Kutakwashe Basikiti is now calling on and appealing to the government to speedily dualize the Bait Bridge to Chirundu Road as the death toll in his province outpaces the country's other nine provinces, with 15 people killed since December 15. Police say 74 people have so far been killed on the roads this festive season, up from 64 people killed during the same period last year. Though fewer accidents occurred on Christmas Day this year compared to last year, 10 people died yesterday compared to 8 last year.
Police statistics also indicate that most roads linking to Baitbridge Border Post record the highest numbers of accidents and people killed. Maswingo province recorded the highest number with 15 people killed in road accidents, whilst Matabeleland South, which also has a road linking to South Africa, recorded 11 deaths. Manicaland recorded 9 deaths. Harare has so far recorded 10 deaths. Mashonaland East, which has road linking to Forbes and Nyamapanda border post, recorded 10 deaths. Mashonaland West and Matabeleland North recorded 5 deaths each, while Mashonaland Central has managed to contain the road carnage, recording 1 death.
The Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe is urging motorists to drive with caution as the death toll on the roads this festive season continues to rise. Police spokesman Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati says human error is the major contributing factor to the road traffic accidents. Provincial Minister Basikiti tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Maswingo is the country's commercial passage and its roads must therefore be prioritized.
It's unfortunate that coupled to the narrowness of the road and the high volumes of cars congestion, which is currently obtaining, poor maintenance to the roads because there are potholes, delays in filling them up. But we believe, as government has indicated, that they shall be commencing on the dualization of that road. Will take off speedily and will avert the continuous loss of life through accidents in that road.
When is the dualization set to begin? Any date?
The Minister of Transport indicated that they will be starting dualization of the Maswingo Bainbridge Road next year. So it is our belief that they should be able to execute their plans simultaneously, realizing that this is the commercial highway road. The economy runs from the same road, but it's not maintaining it. And it's now resulted in lots of carnage and accidents.
But what is your advice to motorists this festive season, judging from the fact that road accidents in the province are on the increase?
My advice to motorists is that the current state of the road doesn't warrant even traveling at 120 kilometers per hour. They should maintain 60 kilometers per hour so that they reach where they are going safely, than to pretend the government authorized the speed limit 120 in Mashingo Road does not obtain because the road is too bad.
That was Mashingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kudakwashe Basikiti speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Mashingo.
Women's rights activists say a tough sentence should be passed on touts who will be found guilty of stripping a 20-year-old Harare woman last week, accusing her of being indecently dressed. This follows the arrest this week of a Marvelous Kantemiri in connection with the offence that drew public outrage and attracted international headlines. Police say they are still looking for more suspects.
We will be keeping our eye on that story, Sita, and we'll be updating our listeners. Now to Matabeleland in Bulawayo, youth from the Welsh Mengube-led MDC yesterday donated goods, which included clothing, to enter Mbeni Old People's Home in Bulawayo to cushion the elderly against hardships this Christmas season.
Bulawayo Provincial Chairman Shepherd Dube tells Studio 7 there is need for the government to assist all senior citizens who mostly live on mere pensions that barely meet their needs.
I went there myself, the chairman, and my secretary, the organizing secretary, and the information secretary. We had gone there to donate some clothing that we had managed to acquire from our friends who we have got access in clothing, and we had also bought some clothing that we could donate to the old ladies at Ntembeni. The reason why we did it, we know that those people, we have got no one that helps them. They rely on donations. And for us, living in a country like ours, whereby we've got an illegitimate government that is failing to do anything, we knew that they were not going to do anything for those people at Ntembeni. So we thought, as a party, we should take the burden upon ourselves and we also try and provide them with some things that could help them this Christmas.
Do you think enough was done to help the needy in the city, looking at the Mayor's Christmas Cheer Fund and many other projects?
I don't think enough was done because the only people that have contributed to the needy, you are talking of the NGOs and you are talking of well-wishers, and we all know that they do not have enough because even the so-called big NGOs, they are forbidden to function properly in Zimbabwe and to donate properly because they are managed by the notorious CIO, because we have got a government that is stopping all those things. So we as the MPC, as much as we know, we thought we could also contribute something that could be significant. But I don't think the needy enjoyed their Christmas yesterday, and I'm sure they don't enjoy the entire year, and they will not enjoy for as long as we have got this government that is there. What needs to be done? The government needs to intervene. They need to take care of the needy. What I saw yesterday at Ntembeni was really shocking, because we have got people, old grannies, who can go for a day or two without food or minimal food provided for them. So I don't think enough can be done for as long as the government is standing as a stumbling block to the NGOs, is standing as a stumbling block to the well-wishers.
That was Shepherd Dube, Bulawayo Provincial Chairman of the Welsh Mengube-led MDC, on the line from Bulawayo.
Direct from Washington, the voice of
Star. Meanwhile, the MDC team renewal says in a statement today that Mashingo police this week disrupted a cleanup exercise by the party in the city. The cleanup campaign was organized by the MDC team renewal youth assembly. They accused the police of disrupting their plans despite giving an earlier clearance to the program. The statement says the Mashingo youth assembly was supposed to clean up the central business district. Provincial youth chairperson Oliver Chirume said, and I quote, "In fulfilling our party's theme, the courage to be different, we simply wanted to show the nation that citizens can make a difference by taking time to create a clean environment." He said the festive season is more of a polluting time in which people buy fast foods and dump the litter everywhere. Therefore, cleaning the city would help change the people's behavior and attitudes. Chirume said the unclean environment is further exacerbated by a municipal authority that is failing to deliver services, including cleaning the streets at such a time. Another civil servants group, the Professional Educators Union of Zimbabwe, is today adding its voice to growing calls from unions calling on the government to improve the working conditions of its employees. The union says the cash-strapped government is treating civil servants unfairly. The union is particularly angry about the failure by the government to provide teachers with bonuses this month, a complaint also enunciated by the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. The Professional Educators Union of Zimbabwe spokesman Chris Lunga says teachers are not happy that the government is not communicating with them directly, but through the media.
It is the unpredictability that has come to characterize the way bonuses are paid, particularly for the civil servants, in particular regards to the teachers. There has been a now you see it, now you don't see it. And for the better part of this year, it has been through the press and no clear statement has come. And we feel it's not fair to treat professionals that way.
What course of action are you planning to take following this development?
We are hopeful that we are going to have a meeting with the new Minister of Public Service so that we can address not only issues to do with bonus, but the entire package pertaining to the conditions of service for the educators. We are of the opinion as PEWs that the so-called blueprint in asset, if it is not backed by strong education as provided for by the teachers, it may not take off. So we feel the government has to engage us genuinely. And now, Mr. Kandemiri, because we don't want a situation where we begin to start these negotiations well into the year, we want this to be done now during the holidays so that when we start off the week, the term, we start off right away.
Some critics say that the government is not taking you seriously because of lack of cooperation or unity amongst the civil servants, as seen in divisions among unions and associations. What's your reaction to this?
Yes, different unions come from different positions. But what we have always advocated for is to have one voice when it comes to issues that affect all educators. It's of no use for us to tear each other down and leave the real issues untouched. So while people are at liberty to join the other unions, which is, by the way, provided for by the Constitution of Zimbabwe, we are saying when it comes to issues that affect us as educators, as teachers, we should, of necessity and of purpose, speak with one voice.
That was Professional Educators Union of Zimbabwe spokesman Chris Lunga on the phone from Gweru with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, Boxing Day no longer the same as Zimbabwe's boxing loses its shine.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
The African Union says it has killed the last three of eight Al-Shabaab militants who attacked its base in the Somali capital of Mogadishu, bringing the death toll to 14.
A spokesman for the AU mission in Somalia tells VOA five AU peacekeepers and a foreign contractor died in yesterday's raid on one of the city's most fortified bases.
Colonel Al-Aden Hamoud said an investigation is underway to find out how the militants dressed in Somali uniforms infiltrated the Halani facility near Mogadishu International Airport.
The identity and nationality of the foreign contractor have not been released.
State prosecutors in Azerbaijan raided the offices of a U.S. government-funded media outlet on Friday, saying they have a court order to close the facility.
Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, said at least 10 prosecutors' office officials backed by armed policemen entered its bureau in the capital, Baku.
The outlet posted a picture showing some of the estimated 20 staff members being held in the office while authorities searched their premises.
The prosecutor's office told the Associated Press the search was conducted to investigate the so-called grave crime but gave no further details.
And Russia has adopted a new version of its military doctrine, which lists NATO and the United States as major threats to its national security.
President Vladimir Putin approved the new doctrine today. Its core remains unchanged from the previous version. The new sections outline the threat Russia sees in NATO's expansion and military build-up and the alliance's move to take on what Russia considers, quote, global functions realized with violation of international law.
The doctrine lists among major foreign military threats the creation and deployment of global strategic anti-ballistic missile systems that undermine the established global stability and balance of power in nuclear missile capabilities, the implementation of the prompt strike concept, intent to deploy weapons in space, and deployment of strategic conventional precision weapon.
The document also points to the threat of instability in countries bordering Russia or its allies and the possible deployment of foreign troops in those nations.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
With an estimated 21 million people around the world victimized by human trafficking, the United States is fully engaged in combating what President Obama has called one of the great human rights causes of our time, modern-day slavery. Every year, the Department of State releases a comprehensive report on governmental anti-human trafficking efforts. It tracks global trends in 188 countries, including law enforcement, victim identification and protection and prevention efforts. We have stepped up efforts to combat human trafficking abroad and in the United States, where many unwitting victims are brought. On December 11th, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security announced it had partnered with one of the nation's largest highway travel center operators to train its employees to look for signs of people being transported against their will in this country and to notify the proper authorities. Travel Centers of America will provide DHS training and awareness materials, including posters, handouts, and a public service announcement, to over 250 locations and more than 15,000 employees across the United States. These materials will help Travel Centers of America personnel and customers to identify and recognize indicators of human trafficking, as well as provide information on how to report suspected cases. Victims often find themselves in a foreign country where they can't speak the language. In addition, traffickers frequently take away the victim's travel and identity documents, telling them that if they attempt to escape, they or their families back home will be harmed, or that their families will assume the debt. Travel Centers of America's involvement in the trucking industry makes it a critical partner in the fight against human trafficking. Truck drivers who know potential indicators of human trafficking and how to report it can provide eyes and ears all around the country.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In sports, traditionally, Boxing Day is a holiday celebrated the day following Christmas Day. Long back, it was a day when servants and tradespeople would receive gifts known as Christmas box from their bosses or employers in the United Kingdom, Zimbabwe, and across the Commonwealth nations. Zimbabwe embraced the day into a real Boxing Day with greats in the sports gave fans a day to remember. Now the sport of boxing has gone down under in the country. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
The country, which used to be the top boxing nation on the continent, with such top boxers as Langton Schoolboy Tinago, Nika the Mosquito Alfonso, Proud Kilimanjaro Nembiri, and Six McLeod, both Commonwealth and Africa titles, has been reduced to spectators with no top-notch boxers to talk of. Nowhere was this more evident than in the Africa Region Fighters of Games, where all but one of Zimbabwe's boxers were eliminated out in the first round, painting a gloomy picture of the future. Apart from Charles Manucci, who holds the Africa Boxing Union and the World Boxing Council International Welterweight titles, Zimbabwe no longer has a boxer challenging for the Africa title and works still for the less important regional Africa Zone 6 championships. In fact, Manucci himself has never fought in Zimbabwe and maybe outside the country think he is from Zambia. Even the boxer himself sees himself a Zambian rather than Zimbabwean.
Zambia, I can say I'm at home.
Manucci said this on December 17, soon after receiving the 2014 Zimbabwe Sportsperson of the Year Award, adding that the Zimbabwean government was not supportive of boxing, pleading the authorities to change their attitude if youngsters were to be attracted to the sport. This was paid up a trend by the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe National Boxing Board of Control, Robert Munetsi, who quit his post claiming the Minister of Sport was not helping in any way to make the sport a success. However, former national light heavyweight and heavyweight title holder, Arigoma Chiponda, has instead blamed the boxing controlling board for the sportish disastrous state. Chiponda, a result of the airport of Zimbabwe Sport Development Program, says boxing is being run by the wrong people, having won the sport, need somebody who has thrown or received passes to make it a success. Two-time Commonwealth champion Renika, who owns the Mosquito Boxing Promotion, is crying over the non-availability of training equipment. He says after standard training facilities are not available in the country.
I'm a former Commonwealth champion. I can't train like here. You see, right now, there's no gym. There's no punch bag, there's no speedball, there's nothing at all.
National middleweight title aspirant Karl Mugodi thinks the reason why boxing has taken a downward trend is due to the non-availability of committed promoters like Lorraine Murindi, Salim Mamao, Paul Murinje, and the late guest Captain Fiasco Dure, who were very active in the past. He says in the past, the promoters organized regular fights for local boxers, which made them fully prepared to face any opposition in foreign lands. However, Ramon says the harsh economic climate prevailing in the country does not allow one to make financial sacrifices. The former boxing guru says it is no longer possible for one to fork out as much as $10,000 to stage a tournament when there was nothing for the family on the table and some of the children were struggling for school fees. Instead, says Mau Mau, it is time for the corporate world to come on board and the sport of boxing should do more to encourage corporate participation in the sport.
I think on the part of people who are involved in boxing, I think we have not done enough to lure support from the corporate world, because really the corporate world looks forward to reciprocal benefit from whatever involvement.
But the problem is that the companies themselves are also going through hard times. Some are closed down, while others are laying off workers. Those who continue to take growth sports are also not working out much. If things remain the same, it will take ages before Zimbabwe can once again discover another schoolboy, Kilimanjaro or the Mosquito. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you, Michael Sita. Now we go to WhatsApp messages from our listeners about the festive holiday.
The first one says, hello, Studio 7. I want to say happy Xmas to all my friends and relatives. God bless you all. I'm Patson Hlabangana from Gokwe Simchembo.
We also have some recorded ones which we will play right now, and then we'll continue to read a lot of emails from you. Thank you very much for, you know, keep them rolling in.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing New Year?
My name is Nick Bangwana. I am the ZANU-PF chairman for UK and Europe. I'm resident in Great Britain, but a Zimbabwean in everything. I wish all Zimbabweans, wherever they are, a very, very prosperous 2015. Thank you, and have a prosperous 2015.
My name is Juma Kimema. I am the president of the Association of Zimbabweans Best Abroad. We are based in Texas, USA. I would like to take this time to wish all Zimbabweans a happy and a prosperous 2015. Let's all make plans to prosper, to progress. Thank you very much.
My name is Bongani Mafu. I am the new Highlanders head coach, the technical director of Highlanders Football Club in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. I wish all Zimbabweans, Highlanders supporters all over the world a happy new year and a great festive season.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. But I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing, New Year?
Hello, I'm Ian Madori. I've celebrated my Christmas in Congo. I'm with my wife, Linda Sandra. It has been so interesting because it's like it has been the first of its kind that I've had my Christmas out with my dearest. My New Year resolutions, I want to improve my life, build my wife a house so that she stays there whilst I'm out at work. Let's hope the whole Lord is going to help me to achieve my goals. Thank you.
To suppose I'd ever be the one you chose out of the thousand ends.
My name is Tegai Gombe. I'm the spokesman of MDCT Nyanga North. I wish everyone a happy Christmas and a prosperous New Year, especially MDC cadres from Nyanga North. I also wish a Christmas and a prosperous New Year. I would like also to wish cadres from Avila, part 2, a happy Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Ngatichinge itinokunda chete machinja.
Thank you for sending those WhatsApp messages. Please continue to keep them rolling in. And we've got a lot of mail, Sita, which we will read over the weekend and next week from our listeners talking about Christmas, their Christmas greetings and all. Now, Sita, we recap today's top stories.
Maswingo Provincial Affairs Minister Kutakwashe Pasikiti calls on the government to prioritize the rehabilitation and construction of roads in his province as the holiday death tolls continues to rise in Maswingo.
Youths from the Welsh Mengube MDC spread the Christmas cheer by donating goods to Entembeni Old People's Home in Bulawayo. Please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when Blessing and Gibbs will discuss with you, the listeners, and many others around the world about Boxing Day and the continuing festive season.
To join the discussion, text us at 001202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in 3 languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can also send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios. You can also send up WhatsApp messages on the same number. Now, stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.